بسم الله الحمد لله والصلاة والسلام على رسول الله وعلى آله وصحبه أجمعين أشهد أن لا إله إلا الله وأشهد أن محمدا عبده ورسوله ما بعد إن الحمد لله الحمد لله رب العالمين هو الذي جعلنا مسلمين جزاكم الله خير والسلام عليكم ورحمة الله وبركاته
وعليكم السلام ورحمة الله وبركاته
الله أكبر okay it's a little bit weak but you know that's okay Alhamdulillah, what can I tell you? This is your host, Yusuf Estes, the National Muslim Chaplain and Director for the Islam Tomorrow Foundation. We have our live broadcast as planned for tonight. Those of you who have been patiently waiting online, may Allah reward you for this virtuous act of patience and sabr. Ameen. And may Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala make what we say here and now something which is beneficial for us in this dunya and for us in the akhir. Ameen. This is a live broadcast. As I mentioned, it will be set up for a rebroadcast on our internet website at islamtomorrow.com. islamtomorrow.com. And tonight we're broadcasting through our Virginia offices by way of cell phone connection. So if it's a little bit weak, well, that's to be expected. What do you want from Muslims in America? We're daif, we're weak. So alhamdulillah, that's the best we can do. But inshallah, those of you who are in other countries, I'm going to be saying some words in Arabic, and then inshallah, I will translate them into two languages. I will translate them into the regular English language, and then I will also be speaking the Texas English language. So we'll be... I'm from Texas, those of you who don't know about me, but I grew up here in the States, of course, because... It turns out my grandparents came to this country. Actually, my grandparents, 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 grandparents came here in the year 1671. They came here in 1671 and settled in what is now called Salem, Massachusetts. And since that time, most of the Estes family has been up in that area. And then some of them came further south until one of the family, which is my dad, reached Texas in the 1940s, and that's the beginning of us. So alhamdulillah. And then I came to Islam in 1991 while I was trying to convert a Muslim from Egypt to become a Christian. I was a preacher or missionary, businessman, combination, whatever works, do it kind of a guy. And alhamdulillah, Allah guided me by His mercy to see the haqqa la ilaha illallah. So I became a Muslim, but I was not the first. Actually, a Catholic priest friend of mine entered into Islam the night or the day before that I did. And then I entered into Islam, and then alhamdulillah, my wife entered immediately after that, and my father came along, and my two daughters, alhamdulillah. So we all became Muslim. And as they say, and everybody lived happily ever after. Alhamdulillah. And if anybody here used to be Christian and became Muslim? Anybody? We have any reverts to Islam with us today? One? Alhamdulillah. Assalamu alaikum. Alhamdulillah. Well, I'm going to ask you a question. When you come to Islam, is it really that everybody lives happily ever after, or is that just when the fun begins? Yeah, that's when the fun begins. Actually, that's true. What is the purpose of this life? Who will tell me what is the purpose of this life? You can't answer the questions. You're the teacher. What? What is the purpose of this life? Who will answer this question? Yes, sir. First of all, come over here. Quickly, 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 quickly. Yeah, you're on internet radio at Islam Tomorrow. Come on. Tell me first, say your name for me.
Adam.
Adam. MashaAllah. Okay, now let me ask you another question, Adam. How old are you?
12.
12 what?
12 years old.
Oh, 12 years old. Okay, I'm just checking you out. All right, now, how many wives do you have, by the way?
None.
None? I thought you were supposed to have 40 wives or something. Is that what Muslims get, huh?
No.
No? How many?
Zero.
No, how many are we allowed?
Four?
Four? I I thought it was 40, man. I don't know. If I want to, can you get by with four wives? You think? Right now, do you want to just stick with none? What's the purpose of life, Adam?
To give submission to Allah.
To give submission to Allah. How many of you agree with what Adam just said, to give submission to Allah? How many? Okay. How many have a different opinion? Anybody? Okay, I guess, well, we took a vote and you win, if we're right. Okay. Now, let me ask you another question. Besides worshiping Allah, or let's put it like this, what in this life, what should a human being expect? What is this life all about? We said it's worshiping Allah, so I'm trying to give you the question to you easy. But what should we expect to happen to us in this life? Should it be real easy or should it be a test? There you go.
A test.
I'll give you a choice of two tests. So this life is a test, right? How are you doing on your test so far with Allah?
Mashallah,
alhamdulillah,
maybe.
Alhamdulillah, maybe, huh? Very good. Well, Adam, I want to tell you something. Whenever I tell people about what's Islam, I like to tell them that ours is a very strange religion. Because most of the people out there who are proselytizing or calling to their religions, they will tell you that if you come to my religion, you're going to be saved. You're going to go to paradise. You will not go to hell if you come to my religion. That's what they tell you. Mm-hmm. They guarantee it. As a matter of fact, if you just join this church or that church or this temple, they guarantee you on no uncertain terms you are going to paradise, baby, because you're in our group. Have you ever heard of that before? Do Muslims have a guarantee like that, or is it a lot of work?
A lot of work.
A lot of work. And no guarantee?
No, not a guarantee.
Not a guarantee, unless you are really doing what you said, submission to Allah, right?
Yes.
Okay. Well, I'll tell you what. How many of you agree with what Adam said? Well, guess what? It's such an amazing thing when you tell a non-Muslim that in our religion, we cannot guarantee you paradise. They go, what? As a matter of fact, the only thing we can guarantee you is hell. This is easy. It's easy to go to hell, right? In fact, just fall off a little bit and you'll be in big trouble. And they look at me like, wow. And another thing they told me, Adam, in some of these religions, the people who are the highest in the paradise are the preachers and the priests and the bishops, the cardinals, the Pope and ministers. All these guys are going to be in the very highest of paradise, right? Mm-hmm. You know what I found in Islam? That the teachers of Islam, the leaders of the Muslims, will be the first ones to go to hell, and Allah will start the fire with them if they taught it, but they didn't follow it. Did you hear about this? Allah starts the fire of hell with the teachers of Islam who teach it, but they don't follow it. And when the people of hell see him and he's running around and his guts are coming out and he's trying to catch his own intestines coming out from him, and they say, oh, so-and-so, didn't you tell us about this or that as far as virtuous deeds and so on? So what happened? He said, yeah, I said it, but I didn't do it. It means munafiq or hypocrite. So you see what, it's a strange religion, isn't it? Yeah. But these other religions look a lot easier, don't they?
Yeah. They always say you're going to go to paradise.
They do, yeah. Does that attract you to that? No? Why?
Is better than Christianity and Jews.
Okay, according to you, you're saying that our religion, Islam, is better than the religion of the other people, right? Mm-hmm. I want to share with you something, and I want you to think about it. Islam is our deen, right? It's our deen, it's our way, right? This is what we say, it's our way. Islam is our way to submit to Allah. But do you know who really owns the religion?
Allah.
Allah. Who made up this religion?
Allah.
Allah made it up. So if we don't do it, what if we come up with a different religion? We say, hey, Allah, guess what? I decided on a better way to worship you than what you want. Okay, I've got my own way. My way to worship you is to play golf on Sunday, go surfing on Monday, take Tuesday off, and eat like crazy on Wednesday. Huh? And this is pretty much my religion, and then do whatever I want on the rest of the week. What do you think? You think Allah will accept this?
No.
You think there's even a chance He might accept it? One in a million chance. How about never? Allah said in the Quran, Adam, He said something like this. A'udhu billahi minash shaitani rajeem. Inna deena inda Allahi al-Islam. Did you ever hear that before? It's in chapter 3, Al-Imran, and it's verse number 19. And what does it mean? Anybody know the meaning of this verse? What does it mean? You're online with us now. This is Islam Tomorrow, live broadcast, by the way. And we're coming to you from right here in San Diego, California. We're asking the question, what does inna deena inda Allahi al-Islam, what does it mean? And we're going to see how many folks here in sunny Southern California, I don't know if you can say that real fast or not, can come up with that kind of answer for us today. Somebody tell me? Well, in the English translation, it usually says the only religion Allah is going to accept is Islam. This gives the impression, of the false impression to some people, that Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam came along 1400 years ago, made up a religion, and then he said, if anybody doesn't follow it, they're going to go to hell. And that's what it sounds like to them, especially when you give that meaning to the verse. But in adina in the lahi al-Islam, maybe it says for sure the only way. Instead of the word religion, use the word way. The only way of life that Allah will accept from His servants is that they will do exactly what Adam said a few minutes ago. That they will submit to the way that He has ordained for them, to do His commandments, to believe in His prophets, and to follow that way until they die. And that's a better way to explain it. And if anybody wants to argue with that, I will call them, if they're a Christian, I will call them to the New Testament, many verses of the Prophet Jesus alayhi salam saying exactly those words to the people, that Allah will not accept less than that. I'd like to share with you a couple things from their book in English. They don't have the original, so we don't know what it said, but we do know what their English King James Version says. And it's in the book called Matthew chapter 5, verse 17, 18, and 19. They said that Jesus said, do not think I came to destroy the law, which means the Torah or the Old Testament. I came not, and the prophets. He says the law and the prophets, which means the Old Testaments and the prophets which came after this and their teachings. He said, I came not to destroy, but rather to fulfill all of that. And not until all things are accomplished shall a single jot or iota, it depends on which translation you have, be in any wise lessened. And whoever breaks the least commandment and teaches this, he will be the least in the kingdom. And that's what we said earlier. Whoever teaches the wrong way or teaches something, breaks commandments and teaches that, then he'll be the least in the next life. That sounds similar to what we just said, going to hell for that, right? So then he continues and he said, but whoever keeps the commandments and teaches this, they'll be the highest in the next life. And unless your taqwa, your birr, or your righteousness exceeds that of the Pharisees. Who are the Pharisees? The teachers at that time, the people controlling the temple. He said, you'll have to be more righteous than them or else you will never enter paradise. Does that make sense? That's what we believe. And that's what they are teaching. It's interesting to note, though, that a lot of people will tell you the New Testament cancels the Old Testament, and that's why they don't have to worry about those laws anymore. That's where they get the idea they can eat the pork. They don't do circumcision anymore. They changed the holy day from Saturday to Sunday. Of course, they did that 300 years after Jesus, beside the point. Thing is, all the changes that they made to these commandments It's amazing, isn't it? I mean, you've got a clear statement there that you can't cancel any commandments until the last day. Now, it's interesting because we have those same commandments. Do you know what the first commandment is in the Bible? Have you ever heard about the Bible? Which Bible? Yeah, that's a good question. Sorry about that. He's right. Good point. Who put you up to this? No. Anyhow, let me clarify something. He's right. There are different versions of the Bible. But in the Old Testament of the Bible, there is a verse, chapter 20, the book of Exodus, book of Deuteronomy, I guess chapter 5, chapter 6. It starts out with it. But it's saying that the first commandment is, thou shalt not have any other gods beside me. Means you can't worship anybody except just Almighty God. Does that make sense? Do you accept that? Oh, well then you can be a Jew. That's their book. It's also what it says in the New Testament. It says in the book of Mark, chapter 12, verse 29. Say, O Israel, the Lord thy God is one God. And you have to worship him with all your heart and all your mind and all your soul. Does that sound right too? That you have to believe there's only one God and you have to give him all your love and devotion and thankfulness. Does that make sense? Mm-hmm. Okay, this is the microphone for the radio, so when we talk, be sure you talk into there. Oh. What's the answer? Yes or no?
Yes.
Okay, then you can be a Christian. No. You can be a Jew, you can be a Christian. And if you believe La ilaha illallah, Muhammad Rasulullah, you can be a Muslim. So we can be Jews, Christians, and Muslims all at the same time. But the thing is, if they deviate off of that, then we can't join them anymore. But a Jew has the belief in the Torah. But another prophet came later, which was Jesus, alayhi salam. And if they don't believe in him, then they miss the boat. But then after Jesus, alayhi salam, came Muhammad, alayhi salam. But if they don't believe in him, then they miss the boat. So the best of the three should be which one? Which religion?
Oh, Islam.
Islam. Okay. Well, I agree with you. I think you're right. How many here agree with that? It's like, what kind of a vote is that? Alhamdulillah. By the way, we're having our own debate right here. This is a better kind of debate, isn't it? Yeah. This is the fun kind. Those of you online that are listening for the first time, you may think that guy sounds like he's a little bit crazy. I can't really help it. I'm from Texas. Anyhow. We're having a good time out here tonight, and we've been talking about the subject of the deen of Allah. We've been talking about the way of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. I want to mention something else to you while we're on the subject of the way. I found something in the Bible. It said the people were never called Christians until they carried their message into Antioch, which was on the other side of the Mediterranean Sea. So at the time of Jesus, they were not called Christians. None of them were called Christians. In fact, they weren't called Christians until, as I said, they took their message via Paul, maybe 40 years later, across over into Antioch. What were they called? Have you ever wondered about that? If they weren't called Christians, what were they called? Well, that's interesting, because I found the answer to that in the book of the Acts of the Apostles. One of the persecutors of the early Christians, his name was Saul, and he worked for the Pharisees. Remember the ones that Jesus warned about, the Pharisees? He was one of them. In fact, he wanted to be the leader of all of the Pharisees. He was engaged to the daughter. He was going to get married to the daughter of the lead of the Sanhedrin, which was the Pharisees for them. But then the lady, she didn't want to marry him, so she ran away. And she actually got married to Caesar. Her name was Poppaea. And he was pretty upset about it. But the father was more upset because his daughter ran away. So he told him, that's it. I'm cutting you off. I'm not going to give you support anymore. And he was on his way to go to Damascus. Anybody know what's Damascus? Damascus, right? Where is that? Syria, right? Yeah, that's right, Syria. So on his way there, he was told, you know, this is it, I'm done with you. On his way, he said he saw a blinding light. And in the blinding light, it said, Saul, Saul, why are you persecuting me? He said, who are you, my Lord? He said, I'm Jesus whom you persecute. And he said, oh. Now he said in the first, he told the story three times in the same book. First time he said, nobody saw it, nobody heard anything. But next time he tells it, somebody heard it, but they didn't see anything. The next time everybody sees it and they hear it. And the first time he falls down, he goes blind. The second time they don't talk about the blind. The next time everybody falls down. So I don't know, he's had a hard time getting his story straight. But one of the things that he said was that he used to persecute even unto death the Christians. He used to kill the early followers of Jesus. His name was Saul. But then he said after that blinding light voice talking to him, he became a Christian, changed his name to Paul. Paul. And he said they were called the people of the way. The people of the way. Now, what was the word I used in Arabic? Deen. And I said we translate it as what? Way. So we are the people of the way. Interestingly enough, the followers of Jesus were called the people of the way. And another passage in the Bible, it said that Jesus claims that no man cometh unto the Father but by my way. Well, we don't say Father. We don't call Allah our Father, do we? Because we don't believe he's a man, and we don't think he's like a man. We don't think he's like a father either, right? We think he's God. We don't compare him to the Father. Yeah, we don't know what he looks like, do we? I didn't see him, did you? No. He's laughing at me. You folks online, if you could see Adam's face right now, he's looking at me like, are you crazy? You're 12 years old, huh? Mm-hmm. MashaAllah. What grade are you in? Seventh grade? Oh yeah, are you pretty smart? Oh yeah? Really, really smart? Do you get, not that smart. Okay, do you get straight A's? Straight B's? A's and B's? Some C's? Any D's? Ever had an F? Yeah. Smart, huh? Okay, sound like me. Smart Alec. Okay, so we got that all figured out now. But I want to come back to our subject about the way. The way. The people of the way. Because the early people of Jesus were persecuted even to death. They were assassinated. They were persecuted. They were oppressed. They were driven out of their homes. And the women were raped, and the men were burned alive, and they peeled off their skins. They put a saw on their head and cut them in half. All of this is from Hadith of Muhammad Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. But also from the history books, we know they used to throw them in the arenas for sport for the Romans, and let the animals tear them limb from limb and eat their bodies. And the gladiators used to go in and fight against them. Of course, the gladiators wore armor, and they had big swords and mallets and a thing called a mace, which is like a ball with spikes all over it. And the Christians were armed only with their faith. That's it. And they would beat them literally to death. And then when they were just about to die, they would look to the audience to get the famous thumbs up or thumbs down. And of course, they always gave them thumbs down, chopped off their heads and so on. This happened to the early Christians. Nobody can deny that happened. I'm mentioning because we know that today Muslims are being attacked in a similar way, aren't they? Is that true or false? Now, regardless of who's destroying us, whether it's coming from one side or the other, we got terrorists that are killing Muslims. Is that true? Yeah, that's happening. We got terrorists that are also killing non-Muslims. It's strange, though. Why would you blame the Muslims for what those people are doing to us, too? Does that make sense? It would be good for us to consider that whoever these terrorists are, they're certainly not Muslims, or they wouldn't kill Muslims. They must be somebody else. So, just as the early people of Jesus had to suffer and endure, so must we do the same thing. We are being persecuted. We're being lied about. A lot of people are lying about us and fabricating stuff and even trying to get us to say one word and then add 100 more to it so they can say, okay, we found another terrorist right here in San Diego. Yep. You imagine if people can do stuff like this? So being of the way is a big test. But the reward is what? What's the reward for one who does it?
Paradise.
How do you say paradise in Arabic? Do you know?
Jannah.
MashaAllah. You speak Arabic? Takalam Arabia? Shwaya? Khalil?
No.
Not even a little bit, huh? How many languages can you speak?
One.
Which one? Ah, English. Okay, that's good enough. Well, alhamdulillah, we've been talking tonight about the subject of the word way in English and the word deen in Arabia. And it might, some of you might say, well, I already knew all that, and I hope you do. But for the benefit of those who are just now learning something about Islam that wanted to share with us tonight and joined us online, we have a website, Islam Tomorrow, which you're already there, obviously, or you wouldn't be listening to this. We have another one called Islam Always, and that's where we write up the answers to a lot of the questions. Like when people ask us, why does your book say beat the women? Read it and see for yourself what it really says. And when they ask us, why does your book say kill them wherever you find them? Read the answer to that. It's a very beautiful answer, and I'm surprised that more people aren't using this in their negotiations and talking with non-Muslims, because we have the best answer. What is jihad and what is qital, sabilillah? These you'll find the answers to, along with questions regarding zawaj or marriage. The women, an-nisa, are mentioned in here too, talking about how the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam at his age married Aisha when she was so young, and the beautiful answer to that one, the love story of Islam, I call it. So we invite you to visit us there at Islam Always and read these stories. We have one story on there that has been read over 3,000 times, and if you should get a chance to read it, we have the story of the comparison between the Bible, the Quran, the comparison between Islam and other religions, and how things are found complementary in Islam, and the nice things we have to say about other religions as well. I hope you'll read that and benefit from it. Obviously, as a Muslim, we're going to say that this is the best way, but at the same time, we're going to say that other people have some good things. We encourage them to look at more good things in Islam. And then we have another website. It's called Islam Yesterday. Did you know that? Have you ever heard of Islam Yesterday? Well, at that website is where we have all of our free downloads for listening and watching. We have videos and audios, and they're free. You can just download all of them. There are hundreds of them. Then we also have free Quran you can download for your computer, free books of hadith you can download, and these are not just books, they're interactive, where you can, when they come up on your screen, you can do word search through them, and you can, you know, see translation, transliteration. It's very, very nice, and they're attractive looking as well, and it's all free. All of this is provided through us. We get a lot of this from islamsoft.com. You can visit them if you want to help them out. Certainly you should. We also have distribution to non-Muslims of the Quran in paperback form, and we do send it out when they send us their addresses. But they can also, in the meantime, get the free download. So those are some of the things that we have. That's a pretty good commercial, wouldn't you say?
Yeah.
Pretty decent. What's the name of my website? Alhamdulillah. So if you want to check us out on the internet, you can find us at islamtomorrow.com. Our website's open 24 hours a day. And by the way, there's always plenty of free parking. It helps if you laugh at these jokes, because that's as good as they get. And alhamdulillah. Alhamdulillahi Rabbil Alameen, who Allah the Jam, the Muslimin. Wassalamu alaikum wa rahmatullah.
Wa alaikum assalam wa rahmatullah wa barakatuh.